Good morning to each one. Christian greetings. May the grace of God rest upon us. I'm thankful to be part of a church body. I'm thankful to be part of this church body. And the blessing it is to have friends and fellow brothers and sisters that are alive. Alive in the sense alive to God and a communion and a relationship with God. A brotherhood where we look out for each other. And when we see areas of need, we're willing to talk to each other. And when you see an area of need in my life, then I'm willing to confess it and acknowledge it. And we can grow and be what God wants us to be and move forward in the Christian life. It's a blessing to be part of the group here, and I'm thankful for that this morning. Appreciated the service very much. Eldon's devotional, we shared that little, it wasn't a poem, it was a little story about discouragement. And as he was reading about that, and I can connect with those things, I think each one of us can. But we got to a part where discouragement's friends would come if we dwelled on that. And you know, my heart went this morning, my heart rejoices that we have Jesus that can help lift us out of that despair and discouragement. But you know what I really thought about? Do you know how many people are around us that's where the story stops? They are facing despair and they're facing discouragement, but they don't have a body like this. They don't have brothers and sisters that pray for them and that encourage them and care about them, and they're alone. They don't have an answer, but we have an answer this morning. Are we willing to share, and are we willing, looking for opportunities to give, to contribute to those around us? God, help us to do that. This morning, I covet your prayers. I don't preach so often with John and Art and Reuben here, and it really seems like a heavy responsibility when I think about God's people coming together, and they're thirsty and they're hungry for truth, and they don't want just hollow, empty words. They need something that they can get a hold of for the week and take home and learn and be challenged by. And this morning, I just feel very incapable of sharing, but I'm thankful that we have God's Word. And it doesn't matter who shares it, when we flip the pages open and we look into the truth of God's Word, we can be strengthened and we can be encouraged. And I hope that can be a reality for us this morning. I know it can be if we look to Christ for that. As an introduction to what I wanted to talk about this morning, Eldon had mentioned after Sunday school, after the close of Sunday school, there's a couple birthdays this week, a couple special events. And I know at our house, when we have birthdays, it's a highlight. Children especially enjoy birthdays. Do you children enjoy birthdays? Sure you do, right? It's fun. What do you enjoy about birthdays? I don't know if you have anything to share about that, but I know when I was younger, one of the things I enjoyed was getting older, just 1 year older. You know, when you're 3 years old and turning four, you get to go to Sunday school. And then once you go to Sunday school, just a couple years, and you'll go to school. Take a lunchbox and go to school. And that's exciting. But there's another thing that's fun about birthdays, especially for younger children, and that is sometimes mom and dad will get you a birthday gift, or friends will give you a birthday gift. And you get a gift, sometimes it's wrapped up or in a bag, or you don't know what it is, but you're excited about, you'd like to know what it is. You know what that's like, to get a gift? I remember when I was just a little boy, at home over Christmas, mom and dad would give us gifts, Oh, I think back to those days and our gifts were small. You might get two or three. Us children didn't give each other gifts. We didn't have money to give, to buy gifts for each other. But Mom and Dad would give us a few gifts. And I remember they would hand you the gift. And you know what this is like? You take the gift and you shake it. What do you think's in that gift? What's in that box? It's not too heavy. Shake it. What's in there? And you really wanted to know what it was. And the big question is, what's inside? What am I going to find when I open this up? And the reason, one of the reasons that you were excited about it is you were pretty sure that it's going to be a good gift. It's something that you're going to like. You're going to like what's inside. Well, as we get older, somehow birthdays don't seem quite as exciting as they used to be. 1 year older isn't quite the benchmark that it used to be. But that's life. That's okay. But this morning, there's a little principle that I'd like to think about as we think about that little gift and what's inside. And I would like us to think this morning that we would still have that same zeal and excitement. What's inside? I'd like to know. There's a passion to see and understand and know. And this morning, I'd like us to think about, it's not a gift that I'm thinking about, but so many times I fail to look at myself. Was it in our Sunday school lesson? Somebody this morning mentioned about that we tend to think that we're good, that we're okay. Maybe it wasn't this morning. But what's inside of me? What's inside of me? Oh, suddenly the zeal is gone. You know what I mean? Who cares what's inside of me? The passion to know what's in the box, suddenly, does it really matter? Is it important? And this morning I ask you that question as you think about your life. What's inside? Take the wrapping off. Go down inside. What's in here? Am I excited to see what's in here? Do I care what's in here? What do you think I'll find when I actually take a look deep inside of me? What's inside? What's inside? It wasn't that long ago I picked up my Bible for a devotions one morning, and I think you can connect with this. Sometimes you really want to know truth. God, show me the truth. And I was reading from Matthew, and it was chapter 7, the first couple verses. You know well what that story is. So I asked God to show me what you want me to learn here. And I read those verses, judge not that you be not judged, for with what judgment you judge, ye shall be judged. And so on. And this is where the light came on for me. I got down to, I should turn to it, verse 5 or something. And I stopped and I said, okay, God, what do you have for me to learn? And you know where my thoughts went? They went right to an issue that I was dealing with. If that brother, if I could somehow, as a leader, communicate to him this truth, you know, this would really help. I have no idea who it was. I don't remember anymore. I can't say if it was one of you or not. I don't think it was. I don't know. And I was thinking about that a little bit, and suddenly the Holy Spirit smote me. John, I thought you wanted to learn something about you, not everybody else. It's about you. And it struck me how many times as I read the Bible and I open up the Bible, how many times do I pass off what I read as good doctrine? You know, this is important things that we need to know and learn and understand and teach. But how does it affect me, like inside? Me, myself, what is it changing? Is the Bible, as you read the Bible in your personal devotions, Is it changing you? So I asked the question this morning, how are you different this week from last week? What's God doing? Are you moving forward in your Christian life? And I don't say that sarcastically at all. And I don't mean to that there has to be huge changes in our lives and drastic measures taken, but are we growing? Are we inching towards holiness, godliness? The fruit of the Spirit, is it coming out more and more in our lives? Or are you like me, and I look over my shoulder at my friends? There's also another thing that prompted my thoughts this morning. When Brother Joe shared a devotional at our nomination service, he asked, what do I think about myself? Is it important what I think about myself? And I've thought about that a lot. Does the answer to that question really matter? And I, in Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7, it says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. That means what's actually down inside, as I think in my heart, so am I. That word thinketh, if you look that up in the Hebrew, it means to split open or to open it up. In other words, what's inside suddenly it is opened up. And I think back to that little illustration I tried to give with the gift. This morning, tear the wrapping paper off, cut the tape. Can we just peek inside at ourselves and see ourselves? Doesn't matter what's inside of me. Today there's a philosophy. I'd like to warn you. You already know this, but today there's a philosophy that man is generally good and that we can make right choices, do what's right, stand up for truth, and we can be better people. We can have better communities. We can have better societies. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that inside of me is a heart that is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And I need Jesus, and the world needs Jesus in order to be able to be the person that God wants them to be. Maybe there's a text in Jeremiah 17. Maybe we'll wait to look at that until if we have time at the end. But let's remember that my heart, inside of me, one of the founding principles is that the heart that's inside of me is desperately wicked, and I need Jesus and his cleansing power to help me to live the life that God wants me to live. So for a message title this morning is, who am I, who is God, and what does that mean? Who am I, what is God, and what does that mean? I feel like a title like that, I'm embarrassed that I don't have more to share. That's huge. I wish somebody could teach me that. Who am I, who is God, and how does that apply to me? But we have a few minutes, and let's try to look at that. Who am I, and who are you? Each of us can list a few things about ourselves. We can take what we have and put it on a little pile, and this is me. This is me. We each have a few things, some more than others. Some of the piles might be a little larger than others, but in truth, they're just all little piles. Some might be known by a few more than others, but truth be told, if the Lord does not return in less than 100 years, it's very likely that few, if any, of us will even personally be remembered by name. So, who am I? Well, I'm John Miller, 41 years old. Married, 6 children, born in Pennsylvania, resident of Clare, Michigan, member at Great Lakes Mennonite Church. What does that sound like to you? Where do you read that? You read that in an obituary, don't you? Point number one is, I'm just a dying man. I'm just a dying man. Who am I? I'm really not much of anything this morning. I have a few things that I call mine, and you could pile them up on a little pile. There they are. But someday, and maybe not so far away, a little pile will be gone. It'll be dust, and it'll be over. Who am I? I'm just a dying man. Brothers and sisters, my heart's desire this morning is I really wish that I could see myself for who I am. And I could see, that's the burden of my heart this morning. If I could see who I really am and see who God is. And with those two things, to me it sheds a lot of light on the choices that we make and the life that we live. The questions that we have, there's a lot of answers there, I believe. I'm just a dying man. That's who I am. It's appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. Genesis 3:19 says, "For dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." Created from dust. We had an interesting discussion lately. Where were we 100 years ago? We weren't. So we were created from dust. God made us. God created us. And as only God knows how long we'll be here. Truly our life is fleeting. 1 Peter 1 verse 24, "For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away." We won't be here very long. And sometimes I like to think that we're special, or we're, as humans, our tendency is to kind of rate each other, rate us, rate ourselves. Where do we fit in on the totem pole? But the truth is, brothers, we're all pretty much the same place, aren't we? And we all need Jesus. We're all dying. We're all headed for an eternal destiny. Maybe we clearly understand that this morning. We need to understand that life is a journey and we're only here for a little while. After this short span that we call life, we will face eternity. And the question is, are you ready to meet God? Because someday we will. So point number two, who am I? I'm a sinner. And I'm guilty of death. That's just a fact. That's what God said in Romans 5, verse 12. I'll just read a couple of these verses. "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned." We've all sinned. We've all violated God's law. God is holy. And hopefully we can look at that a little bit. But God is holy and just and true, and man, because of sin, is not. And therefore, I am guilty of death. Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Isaiah 53:6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." Romans 7:24, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body, from the body of this death?" I am a sinner, and I am guilty of death. Point number three, who am I? And this goes to that verse in Jeremiah chapter 17. Why don't you turn there real quick? We'll just look at that. Jeremiah chapter 17. Verse 5-9. I'd like to read that. But point number three, my heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. My heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Let's read Jeremiah chapter 17, starting at verse 5 and read through verse 9. It says this, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land not inhabited. Blessed be the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope is whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" So point number three, my heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. That's who I am. A clear picture. If you want to peel the package back and look, desperately wicked, deceitful, not good. That's who we are. That's who I am. Cursed be the man that trusteth in man. I am not to trust in myself. Not to trust in myself. Does that mean that I need to be unsure and shaky about everything I do? No. No, not at all. If I can understand the concept that in myself I am desperately wicked and I need help, and God provided help, and he gives us help so that we can have answers and we can be sure and we can move forward in confidence. We don't have to be stuck in this concept of completely deceitful and desperately wicked. Jesus made provisions for that. We need to look beyond our own feelings. But don't forget, in the whole thing, as I think about myself, it's so easy, as Jesus comes in and he helps us and he gives us confidence and he gives us strength to do our best, suddenly inside of that desperately heart wicked, that heart that is desperately wicked, there can come this surge of pride that I've got it. And we begin to forget that my heart is desperately wicked. Don't forget that, brothers and sisters. That's so imperative to the Christian life. We need Jesus, and we need the Holy Spirit, and we need his direction and guidance through our lives. Because when I think that I've got it, take heed lest you fall, because we will. Let's remember that our heart is desperately wicked. Point number four, the last one here on this part. Who am I? Without God, I'm lost. I'm a dying man. I'm guilty of death. My heart is desperately wicked. And if I don't have God in my life, I'm lost. I'm lost. Isaiah 64, verse 6, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. And we do fade as a leaf, and our iniquity like the wind have taken us away." Our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. I'm lost without God. I need Jesus. Each one of us needs Jesus. Because without Jesus and his cleansing work, as you look into our lives and into our hearts, it's not, what's there is not okay and will not be okay with God. I'm concerned that I understand this concept. Do I really know who I am? Do I really know who I am? It's so easy to think that, you know, I'm not too bad. I've never done some of the really bad things that people would spend in life in prison have done. I asked Jesus to forgive me years ago, and I'm on the right road. I just want to underscore again this morning that no one is good enough on his own strength to earn eternal life. And there's a few things that I'd just like to mention this morning, a few things that I'm concerned about in my own heart, and I'm concerned about in each one of our hearts. Because inside of each one of us, it's desperately wicked. It's that desperately wicked heart is still there. Does it matter if I have just a little bit of pride in my life? Is a little bit of pride okay? I think we know the answer to that. A little bit of pride is not okay. What about a critical attitude of a brother that doesn't measure up to my standard? You know, if I have a big pile of stuff, and over here this person just has a little pile of stuff, and we start looking at the stuff, I think we get confused. And we forget that each one of us has that desperately wicked heart. And it's so easy when we look at material things to begin to get critical of each other. And, you know, that, you know how it is. It's that part of that wicked heart that we have. Let's keep working together to recognize it and to conquer it. What about bitterness that just lies under the surface? Things are going well, but what does it take for me to get really frustrated? Just, you know, maybe you don't experience that. I hope that that's true, but that's not true for me. Inside of me, I have a deceitful heart, and bitterness doesn't seem to be very far below the surface. It's easy when things, small things, can just really frustrate me. I think when that happens, we're letting that wicked, evil, deceitful heart come to life. And we need Jesus. And we need that balm, that healing, to help us to work through and get over that. What about when I can't talk about an issue because it causes too much pain? I'm not going there. We just don't open that door. I can't, not doing that. I don't think that's not who Jesus is. What about when I can't see past the faults of those around me? Another one that I thought about, what happens in private? What happens in private is no big deal. But when we get into public life, suddenly it's really important how my family performs and how we look and what we do. But when it's just me, or we're in, it's no big deal. Does Jesus care more about faithfulness in public than he does in private? I don't think he does. There's so many more things that I could or should mention, but those are a couple of things that I'm faced with, and maybe you do too, I don't know. But Jesus has a solution, and we'd like to look at that real soon. Jesus has a solution for those things. This desperately wicked heart can be cleansed, and we can, that bitterness that seemingly just lays below the surface, Jesus has medicine for that. Is that the right word? It's not medicine, but he has, way beyond that, he has a healing touch. The leper had leprosy, and Jesus cleansed the leper. Jesus can cleanse our hearts too, and he can help us to find victory. We're not in heaven. We'll continue to face struggles and challenges, but we don't have to live with that wicked, desperately wicked heart ruling in our lives, and we can find peace. So who am I? I'm in pretty tough shape, but Jesus helps me. Jesus can give me strength. Jesus gives me light for tomorrow and the future. And even as I face, really, brothers and sisters, doesn't matter what, big things, Jesus will help me. I know he will. And he can help each one of us. So who is God? Just remember who I am, who we are. We're little. We're in trouble, and we need God. But who is God? I don't even know where to go in the Bible. I did write down Isaiah 6. One of my favorites. Flip over there real quick. We'll take a look at it. The Bible is so, yeah, who's God? Well, just grab your scriptures. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, right? Who's God? He started it. Before, where was I 100 years ago? I wasn't. Where was God? Same place he is today. Same place he ever was and ever will be. Just who is God? He is a rock. He is an anchor. Okay, I'll just read a couple of these verses in Isaiah 6. I love the concept that Isaiah saw God. Starting at verse 1, in the year the king Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. He sees a vision here, Isaiah's vision. And it stood, above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings, and twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sins are purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and whom will go for us? And Isaiah, I think I can just picture him almost on the ground. He says, Here am I, send me. God, I'll go, I'll do, you name it. Who is God? He's just the opposite of who we are. I don't know quite how to say it. God is high and lifted up. Amazing. So far above us. But you know what is even greater than that? When I get high and lifted up, then I meet with high and lifted up people because I'm high and lifted up. Is that how God is? No. God is high and lifted up, and it says that he lost my place. God is high and lifted up, but he dwells with the lowly. Yeah, verse 1, there it is. God is high and lifted up, yet at the same time, he desires to dwell with the humble. He desires to, as mankind, as humans, with our deceitful heart, when we're lifted up, we want to be with the proud and the mighty. But God, in his steady highness, his sovereignty, he's not threatened like we sometimes think we are. He is supreme. He is God. He is ruler. And he delights in living with the humble, the contrite, the lowly. That just blows me away. I don't know. There's hardly words to. I can hardly imagine how God, in his greatness, can come down to this desperately wicked, sinful heart that cries out to God for mercy. And God just, he delights in that. He wants that. So this morning, take courage. If your heart is broken and you're at the bottom and you're frustrated or you're in despair, cry out to Jesus. Cry out to God and surrender to God and what he's asking for you. And that high and holy God can come down and dwell in the hearts of the humble and of the contrite. That's amazing to me. And that's really exciting. I really appreciate that concept. Verse 3, God is holy, holy, holy. How holy is God? I don't have words. He is just like, he didn't have a beginning. We had a beginning, God did not. We were born in sin. God was eternally holy, never sinned. There is no sin with God. We needed a Savior, and God provided the Savior. He gave us the Savior. We cannot get to God ourselves. So God comes to us. We're in a mortal body. God is in an immortal body. God created the world, and he created you and me, and no one created him. That's probably the biggest understatement or explanation of God there ever was. There's no way to touch God. He's just way bigger than we are. So who is God? I'm not sure. But I know one thing, that God loves me and he gives me strength and power to find victory and to find grace. And by God's grace, someday I'm going to meet God. I look forward to that. So what does that mean to us? Who am I? Who is God? And what does that really mean? That means this morning that you and I can choose to live our own lives. We can choose to think that we're pretty good. We're doing okay. And we can go on with life in charge, doing our own thing, and we can ignore God. And that can happen. That's very possible. You can do that. And God, in my terminology, sits back, sovereign, unchallenged, and lets us make that choice. We can do that. Or we can acknowledge who I really am and realize my need of God and fall before him in worship, pour out my heart and soul to him, and then he can come down. He comes down and he dwells with the humble. So what does that mean? I think it means that we should worship him with everything that we have. All the choices that you have, all the decisions that you make, how can I glorify God? Thank you, God, for helping me. It should produce a heart of thankfulness. It should produce, you know what it produces? I'll tell you what I think it produces is a man that is looking through his own eyes and values his own self, and he looks around at others and struggles with criticism and bitterness. God is offering to deliver us from that. And it means that we can choose to ask him to come and help us, and then we can find freedom and deliverance from that. And we can find real, like the real peace that passes all understanding. This morning, give God your all. Just pour it all out. I challenge you to let him have full control in every area of our lives. And whatever you're struggling with, whatever you might be faced with this morning, it's hard sometimes because of our wicked, desperately wicked heart, it's hard to surrender and give it up. But that's where the peace is. And that's what it takes. That's the access to that high and holy God. Is that surrender and brokenness and say, God, just have it. It's yours. I'll do it your way and I'll surrender. And then God can give us strength and peace and power to be faithful. I feel like I really botched that up. Think about who God is and how great he is. We didn't even start talking about it. But if somehow, with a few meager things that we shared, if it could just help us to see a little better of our need of God and a little more of his greatness, then I guess it's worth it. May God give us strength and help us to be what he wants us to be and surrender and give our hearts to him and find peace. God bless you. Let's kneel for prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, we just pray this morning that you would help us throughout these coming days, that we would look into our lives, into our hearts, and realize that there's not much good in there, except what you have done for us and what you provided for us, and we just thank you for that this morning. Help us to surrender our hearts continually. It's an ongoing thing, Lord. You want to dwell within us each day, every day, and it takes surrender each day and every day. So help us to do that. Bless each one of our church family here. There's some that are missing this morning. I just pray that you'd be with them. Be near to Barb. Bless her in a special way as she faces some uncertainties and Lord, just the unknown. I just pray that you have a solution for that. You have a balm. You have a peace and a rest. So, Lord, we just pray that you would help Barb to feel that. Strengthen her. Pray for the contacts that we've made in the community. Some that were going to be here, I just pray that you would continue to work in their hearts and help them, Lord. Help each of us to be that light and that we could share that the truth with those around us. Help us to be faithful and help us to always trust you and have a clear vision of who you are and who we are. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.